Since 1937, the lights of spiritual guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
Today, what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confide. Storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of light. I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. Some sweet day, our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all our mistakes, in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith, and feel no alarm. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting.
Good morning, and thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. That song, Living by Faith, I think is probably my favorite song out of the hymn book. And it's a song that we would sing as a child growing up, and also in camp meetings. And I hope you enjoyed it. And by the way, if you would like a copy of my hymn album, which has that song on it, I would be glad to send it out to you. August is our anniversary month, and Dad would normally celebrate the anniversary of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance in the month of August. And we are now 87 years into broadcasting the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. So if you would like a copy of the hymn album, I'd be happy to send it out to you in honor of this being anniversary month on the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. All you have to do is write to me, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website and you can look at our product page there. You can email me, lanelohman@me.com, and I'll be glad to send that out to you. All I ask is that you consider giving us a gift, a donation, to keep this radio program on your radio station. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our listening audience this morning. Thank you for those who tune in faithfully every week, or for that individual that might have just happened on the radio program today. I pray that you would meet their need, whatever it might be. I pray that you would touch that person that's estranged from you. They don't know you. And I pray that perhaps something on this program today would be used of the Holy Spirit to draw them to a place where they want to ask Jesus into their heart and life. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of preaching the Word of God. And I pray that you'd help us as we share the message of salvation through camp meetings and in revival services and churches around the country. Thank you so much for those who have helped us stay on this radio station so many, many years. We thank you, Father. Be with those who are sick and shut in. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. In the month of August, I'm in services. Hillcrest Holiness Camp, August 5 to 11. That's in Campsville, Illinois. And then traveling to the Family Worship Center in Mattoon, Illinois on August the 18th. And then our annual evangelist gathering, August 28 to September the 1st. I do cover your prayers. Thanks so much for doing that.
Then he'll look at me and say, well done. Welcome home, my faithful child. And as I stand before his throne, the trials I have known, they will all be worthwhile.
At his throne, I stand.
If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite your attention to Acts chapter 1. Let me give you just a bit of context for this passage of Scripture. Jesus' ministry is coming to an end. He is resurrected from the grave, and now he has spent the last 40 days with his disciples and his apostles. And as he is teaching them regarding the kingdom of God, something incredible happens right before their very eyes. They see Jesus begin to elevate from the earth. The Bible tells us that he ascends back into the clouds. And we find the story in Acts chapter 1, verse 10. Speaking of the apostles and that unnumbered group of disciples, they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. Jesus was going, leaving. When suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back." This same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. It was a cold day in November when an assassin's bullet snuffed out the life of President John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Wire services hummed with the death of the president. Soap operas were interrupted. Life as we knew it in America came to a standstill. It was a momentous time in the life of our country. It was a clear, beautiful Tuesday when four hijackers took airplanes from various locations on the East Coast, crashed them into the Twin Towers, into the Pentagon, and made a gaping hole in the earth outside of Shanksville, Pennsylvania. It was September the 11th, 2001. Networks interrupted scheduled programming to keep citizens apprised of what was going on in our country. We were shocked and horrified as over 3,000 people were killed that day, and it changed the face of life as we had known it here in America. It was a dramatic time in our nation's history. But I submit to you this morning the shock and the horror of November the 22nd, 1963, and September the 11th, 2001, pales to utter insignificance when compared to the day when the Church of Jesus Christ disappears from the face of this earth. And it is going to happen. It is going to take place. The Bible is very clear about that. And we may not need to hear a sermon on the second coming of Jesus Christ every week, but we dare not forget this truth found and validated in the Word of God. As a matter of fact, Jesus made this statement in John chapter 14. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also." Jesus spoke of his own return after he ascended back to the Father. Do you realize that there are more references to the second coming of Jesus Christ than there are references to the first coming of Jesus as a babe in a manger? And because of that, it deserves our serious attention. In Matthew chapter 24, we find a lot of material about the end of the day, the end of the age. Jesus is talking to his disciples. And on the one hand, he is telling them about the destruction of Jerusalem that will happen in their lifetime. But then in another part of Matthew chapter 24, he talks about the end of the age as you and I know it. And they asked him, Jesus sitting on the Mount of Olives, Matthew 24, verse 3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Signs. Signs of his coming. What are the signs? How do you know that we're on the cusp of the return of Jesus Christ? Well, there are signs all around us. There are signs sociably.
You remember Paul's writing to young Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is what Paul had to say to young Timothy about the last days. Paul said to Timothy, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. You'll note how familiar this sounds. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, have nothing to do with such people. In the last days, he describes the 21st century of which you and I are a part. Because we see all of those things demonstrated on a regular basis. Turn on the news stations. Read your newspaper. Look around you at the state of mind of our society today. And you see the fulfillment of what Paul was saying to young Timothy. Minneapolis, Portland, Louisville. It's all around us today, signs of the coming of Jesus Christ. But we not only see signs of his coming socially, we see signs of his coming politically. Politically, Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, they said, what will be the sign of your coming? He says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And it seems as you look at world politics today and the world situation, there are wars and confrontations among people groups all around us every day. Someone said that our world across its history of time has only been at peace maybe 100 years. Throughout the entire history of mankind, at total peace, maybe 100 years. Jesus' prophecy, wars and rumors of wars, nation against nation. There'll be signs of his coming educationally because of the technology available to us today. The quantity of knowledge that we have at our disposal is staggering. I can take my iPhone and I can click on the search engine on my iPhone, and I can put in a sentence of something that I want to know about. And there it is, right there, all the information that I care to know. It's right there. And I'm reminded of what Daniel had to say in chapter 12, verse 4. But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there, and knowledge will be increased. Signs. Signs socially, signs politically, signs educationally, signs naturally. Jesus made the statement to his disciples that day, there'll be famines and earthquakes. I read a statistic many years ago, and it's probably just as true today as it was then, that one third of the world's population is starving to death. We hear it all the time. Give to this particular cause. Help these folks in this third world country. It's there before our very eyes over and over and over again. One third of the world's population starving to death. Another third of the world's population has enough food for one decent meal a day. And we here in America, we are the fortunate ones. We have the privilege, if we care to sit down to three square meals a day. We live in a bountiful country. Famines, earthquakes. Those in the scientific community will tell you that we're seeing earthquakes in places they've never been before. I don't mean to sound like an alarmist today, but there are signs. Signs of the coming of Jesus Christ. But then we also notice signs spiritually. Notice what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. He said, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a great falling away first. What is he talking about there when he writes to the church at Thessalonica? Here's what he's saying to them, what he wants to say to us and what we need to hear, that in the last days, there will be a great falling away from things spiritual. People that used to be committed to the things of God, put God first, prioritize their lives to where Jesus was absolutely Lord of their lives, they'll begin to move away from that, fall away from that, and add just a little bit of God to their lives periodically. A great falling away. Matthew 24:4, it says, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come claiming, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. What is he saying there? One commentary suggests that what he is saying there, there will be people in the last days who will come and they will acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of God, but then they will manipulate people and use people for their own purposes. And there are a lot of spiritual charlatans out there today. Turn on your television and there are many people who are trying to get your money. They're trying to get you to support them under the name and under the banner of Jesus Christ. This is what he's talking about here. Signs. Last days. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, this is what he said. And he said this back in the 20th century, many, many, many generations ago. The chief danger that confronts the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost. Christianity without Christ. Forgiveness without repentance. Salvation without regeneration. Politics without God. Heaven without hell. Signs. Signs of the coming of Jesus Christ. 86-year-old Richard Owen Roberts, speaking at the Fusion Conference in 2017 in Orlando, Florida, said, a revival that does not preach holiness is no revival at all. What kind of God would save us from the penalty of sin and not the problem of sin? When the Lord comes near in revival, he comes among us with the beauty of holiness. And Peter reminds us in his Pentecost address when he says this, in the last days, Acts chapter 2, verse 17. In the last days, God says, I will pour my spirit out on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon turned to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, paradoxically, there will be a great falling away. People who will just have a cavalier approach to the church and to God, who've known the church. But there will also be a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I've seen lights at the door. As an evangelist, it's a part of our congregation. I travel week after week during revival meetings. Every once in a while, I see it. I see that spark. I see that spiritual energy where people want to see a mighty move of the power of God. So we see it happening, both happening. A falling away, and yes, people hungering to know God. Hungering to see a demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Signs of his coming. Signs that help us to understand that one of these days, a day that we do not know, the church, the genuine church, that body of believers is going to disappear from the face of this earth. And we need to be ready. You need to be sure you're ready. There can be no question about it. No, I hope I'm ready. No, I think I'm a Christian. No, you need to know that you're ready.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship. And if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fosteria, Ohio, at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. Hope you'll tune in next week at this same time. And in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.